Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we don't have a job to do.
Oh, thank God.
KZ Excellent.
Mwom, mwom, mwom.
And Mr. Feel.
I'm not going to carry that weight.
Here on Gigaboots.
So I ate something truly despicable today.
Ooh.
I'm very excited.
So, thankfully I did not purchase these. Someone gave me one because they bought them, presumably out of lurid curiosity.
And soon we will.
Did they eat it before they gave it to you? I feel like this is an important detail.
It was a joint venture. They opened it while I was there.
Okay.
You journeyed to hell with another.
Yes.
It's not like when Dan says you should try this and then it's
what apple. I ate was a stuffed puff big bite.
Stuffed puff?
Like marshmallow or something?
They are marshmallows filled with frosting rolled in sprinkles.
Jesus.
And that is not the only flavor. They also have s'more flavored ones that are full of chocolate frosting and rolled in like graham cracker crumbs. Cookies and cream, which have like Oreo filling and are rolled in like the Oreo cookie dust.
Yeah, this looks like it could be the worst thing.
We got to try these.
It seems like it's just a sugar bomb.
It does. It feels like as I swallow it, I hear a submerged explosion.
That's his heart explode.
And then me in the ER.
Yeah.
So how was it?
Yeah, it's... It was bad. Like it was you start to chew and your body's like, no, get it out.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to spit it out because that's always gross, so I had to do the desperation move of just swallowing.
Oh. I'm looking at these and I'm like, you know, marshmallows are really soft. If they're hollow, they're even softer. The last thing I would want in that vessel is some cream fluid like thing.
It's really thick. It's not fluid-like.
Oh, so it's like peanut butter thick?
No, think of like cake frosting. Think of them just being full of cake frosting.
Oh, no.
I feel so like you actually like found the worst flavor, too.
I bit into it, and I'm like, oh, God, it has like the sprinkles on the outside. That's kind of gross. And I continue to bite down. I get to the marshmallow. Then I can tell when I hit the frosting before it even gets to my tongue because my teeth hurt.
Oh my God.
Because your teeth are not, your teeth warn you. I don't know if anybody else's teeth do this, but if you eat something that's pure sugar, your teeth are like, what are you fucking doing? What are you fucking doing? That's very bad for us.
Stop that.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes you can just bite into a thing and your teeth will just hurt. It'll be like, hey, bro, what is this? It's like a warning pang of like, dude, look out. And I'm not saying molars. I mean like incisors.
Yeah. And I brush twice a day. I brush two times a day. So I do not have bad teeth. It's just like, no, it's too much sugar. Cease. Into this.
You see, then they make
what
these
on earth
candies.
Are you doing?
So you stick the whole thing in your mouth and like chew it by placing your tongue at the top of your mouth.
Nom, nom, nom. Just gum your fucking marshmallow candy bomb down.
I can't believe you found a way to top our Reese's filled muffins.
I don't need to think about both of these things at once.
We're going to escalate next week.
There's no way I'm trying the birthday cake ever.
Oh, no.
Just to be clear.
No, if I'm getting it looks bad.
I'm looking at these. S'more's the only one I'm interested in.
That was also my take when I looked at the other flavors. I'm like, s'mores definitely seems like the one with the highest opportunity of working. They also make ones that you're not just meant to eat and do not have covering, so they're just like marshmallows filled with chocolate or whatever.
Hmm. I
could probably do the Oreo one.
I just, that much filling in at once, Oreo filling at once just seems really gross, because one time I bought like a
oh shit,
a small pack of the mega stuff Oreos. Or not mega stuff. It was even more than that. It was called the most stuff.
Yes, I remember those.
Yeah.
And it's like five times as much as the cookie.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, thanks, Phil.
That's a hell of an adventure you went on. Any idea where they got these from?
Walmart.
Okay.
Oh, no. Too easy.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God.
Over. And I know because I also saw them today at Walmart because I also went to Walmart after that. And they have a big display with every flavor in the center of the aisle.
Did you buy some?
Because, fuck no. It's in the it's in the main aisle. Like I don't know how your Walmart is structured, but ours has like a two big aisles. One going like on all the non-perishable stuff. And the other is just like the access to every grocery aisle. Mega aisle. And it was in the center of one of the grocery store mega aisles.
Man, that's crazy to dedicate that much space to something that is clearly a bad idea.
I'm sure they paid well.
It's Thanksgiving, so all the fucking trash food has to be... Because people buy fucking anything. They're mongrels right now.
Yes!
You think they would stick to just sort of Thanksgiving-esque food and not, you know...
No, I get it, because you want to shove some sugar at the fucking kids to shut them the fuck up while the adults are doing whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of people make, like, a snack bar sort of thing for everyone to try and appease whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, that sounds terrible. Thank you for starting this big, queasy dimension off right. No one else ate food horrors, right?
No.
Okay, good. We can move on.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
We're recording this early, so yes. We haven't really had time to play games. We also filmed a video that should be out by now. I can't imagine it not being.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be tragic.
It would be insane. The Xbox destruction video, which took a lot of planning and a whole day and then another day of editing and then some more time.
Happy holidays.
having the luck to have a clear day here in Florida.
Yeah, luckily now that we're in winter, it stopped fucking raining every goddamn day.
Yeah, rolling at 20.
Soon it'll start snowing. Soon God, it'll start snowing.
I
don't know why I said snowling. That's not a thing.
See, I was going to fix that later, but fuck it now.
Yeah, we can't, or that almost never happens. Almost
yeah.
Never.
Yeah, I've seen snow here my entire life twice, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, now we're in a new exciting world where the climate makes no sense.
That's true.
It's been broken.
How exciting. So really, game-wise, aside from filming that video, its own kind of game, Bob and I played Secret Agent Clank.
I forgot.
Yeah, it was.
So did rough. I was like, what did they play? It must have been ethereal.
That's understandable. Well, there are just a few prongs that stick to your brain, you know, like barbs of the game's concept and what it puts you through. The insane part of this game is Ratchet and Clank are separated like oil and water into completely segregated gameplay segments. Ratchet is in prison. there's a prison shower scene combat arena where your towel can fall off and then they have to censor it. And everyone's towel can fall off and then it has to censor it. I don't know who pitched this.
Right.
It's insane that they did it. I guess it's kind of funny.
I think the craziest thing is that it's not just the two pillars, Ratchet and Clank. There's also the third pillar of Quark.
That's true.
Yes.
Every time Clank finishes an area where he gets something done, Quark shows up and then just pretends he did something there. And the gameplay segments are always completely insane. And as he goes on, it gets more and more insane. One of the worst parts of this game is the rhythm game stuff where they shove it everywhere.
Yeah.
Because the game doesn't even lock 30 frames per second. Nothing scrolls evenly. It has uneven frame pacing on top of this. It's horrible. It's possibly the worst rhythm game thing that's ever popped up in a game we've played.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty high chance. I was like, that Sly one's a little rough, but it's nowhere near this.
Exactly. That Sly one was a little rough, but it's nowhere near this. Because one, it's fun and neatly designed, and it's like, it's just that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't keep showing up to be every type of gameplay.
Yeah, because the rhythm game starts getting used for things that aren't at all a rhythm game. Like poker. Yeah, Clank is playing poker. It's like, here's a rhythm game. I was like, what do you mean? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, it's anything at any time could be a rhythm game. So, yeah, that's terrible. The Quark segments are funny like twice, and elsewise it just seems like Looney Tunes cartoon a lot of the time, just converted into gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Quark had to get huge and fight Godzilla.
Okay.
Quark was stuck on this thing trying to prevent bulls from smashing an aquarium or a dam that had glass on it. So he needed to stick, you know, those little pills, those capsules you would stick in water and then it would hydrate and become an animal. He had to stop the cracks with those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Become an animal?
Yeah, yeah. It's this old toy. It's a tiny, tiny toy. It's kept in a capsule. When you stick it in the water, it dissolves the plastic casing, the pill case, and then it's a sponge inside, basically. So it just inflates with the water into an animal of some sort.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had to use giant versions of those, and they were sentient, and then they shoved themselves into the cracks to stop the dam from breaking.
Is this all while he's a cowboy?
He's a good singer.
Yeah, the opera thing was kind of funny. And then it went on just like everything else, three times as long as it should.
You're like, why is this section 20 minutes?
Yeah, every single thing in this game is a mini game, basically, and every mini game lasts twice as long as it should.
The weirdest part is Clank doesn't get a boss to fight until the final boss, and then it's one of those bosses where you think they're bringing back forms that you fought throughout the whole game. You know, one of those things of like, okay, I'm going to loop back to this moment that you fought this thing, and then I'll become this other thing you fought. Except for we never fought any of these. So you just have to learn patterns and stuff for four different robot forms that he seems to be talking about as though we've seen them before. And this game has some really obvious cut content. It's very strange. Yeah, it's a really bizarre game. The most authentically Ratchet and Clank thing about it is how, much like Ratchet 1, we had to bankroll the final boss. Just pouring money into the problem to win.
That's good.
Yeah.
The spirit of the series lives on.
Yeah. Somebody's like, could you imagine if they remade this on the PS5?
Oh,
I lost it.
Man.
Like, dude, I can't. We need ray tracing for the shower scene.
God.
But yeah, the game's obviously made from the same skeleton as Size Matters. It's okay once you change the control scheme. Except for all the parts that are, do this bad stealth, do this terrible rhythm game, do this other thing. So yeah, there's a good reason we didn't play this one during Ratchet Month.
Yeah, this is easily the worst one.
Yeah, this is way worse than All for One, or as it was originally named, Four Play.
I'm very happy to hear that it was in fact the worst one and you made a good choice.
Yeah. That leaves Deadlocked as the only Ratchet we need to play through.
Whoa.
So hopefully we'll be able to do that sometime soon. God knows it'll be drastically better than this.
It has to be.
There's no way it couldn't be.
It's like, oh no, Ratchet and Clank combat. All right.
Yeah, this next arena was probably the best part of this one.
This next arena is stealth.
No!
There is no stealth in Ratchet Deadlocked, I can assure you that one.
But yeah, aside from that, I really didn't have time to play games. Because keep in mind, we recorded the last Big Think
Thursday.
4 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're recording
real early.
Ahead of
as I like to call it, Thursday.
Yeah, one, two, yeah. So, you know, they didn't really have time to play games between the filming of the Xbox stuff and other things. Bob, did you play anything other than that?
Yeah, I was able to squeeze a few things in.
Okay.
So the King of Fighters 15 beta happened this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
To play a little bit of that.
Yeah, Jesus.
It was pretty fun. It didn't feel like the netcode was working as well as like in Melty Blood and Guilty Gear. But it did. I did have a few matches that felt pretty good. So I'm confident by the time this game is out, it'll feel better.
Yeah, apparently it's using GGPO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
supposed to be February, I think?
I think so, right? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. All the background characters are doing that thing where they run like half frame rate or less.
On a PS5?
Yeah, on the PS5. And it's like,
I doubt they did different versions. So
that's weird.
Maybe at release.
They did a next gen version on Xbox for Samurai Showdown that lets
this
it
is
run
officially
at 120.
A PS5 release. Like this okay, has the PS5 logo. Like when you boot up the beta.
And okay, well, you know, whatever. So, I guess they'll figure it out.
Or they won't.
Later, or they won't. Yeah, and then we'll be
some of them seem like they're just 2D assets animating. So, yeah, yes! I think that they're just like, yeah, that's just how our game looks. And it's like,
they're like, why though? They're like the crowd in Smash Bros.
What if you made them look good though?
Yeah.
And they're like, nah. Whatever, man. If it runs at 120 frames per second, I won't complain about any corners they cut.
Right. Hopefully it does that. I didn't check if they could do that in the beta.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing Shizuru again in the game. Like, it seems like her moveset's more fleshed out than ever before. Like, a bunch of different things where she can do a bunch of... her whole thing is she does, like, projection of herself. She shoots a thing at you.
Mm-hmm.
And she can either actually be that projection and appear where she was at the end of that, or...
Or it's just a feint.
Or it's a feint, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is real neat. And I found some Sharmi players online that just wrecked me insanely hard.
Oh, Sharmi?
Yeah, wait. That happened to me. I didn't play a ton of it. I only played it for a little bit. And my experience was go into training mode. Oh, yeah, under no circumstances will SNK ever just get their shit together and let you have normal inputs for moves.
No.
Never. They will never just be like, yeah, most people, like, controllers are really mostly good at doing quarter and half circles. We should probably make most of our shit that.
No, they have to make this for the arcades.
But that's fine. Whatever. I can learn to live with that. I'll just never, ever do Geese's Rising Storm ever.
I would simply never do that.
But then I get online, and I'm like, oh, no, the name's in Spanish. This is going to be rough.
Yes.
Mamma mia.
And then it's like, oh, it's Iori mauling my entire team with just him. Okay. See?
Yeah.
These people who have played these games for 30 years.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it to come out so I can match against you guys and not stranger monster danger beasts on the internet.
But it's great to see every character I got to play seemed like it was their full move set, like every move they've ever had, basically.
Cool.
So it didn't feel like anyone was left short.
Did it?
I will say that the training mode, I really hope they fix this before the end of the before it actually comes out. Hitting the reset button resets your opponent in the corner.
Weird.
Oh, is it not like you could, down in a direction or left in a direction to like move?
There's a you're in the corner, they're in the corner, neutral in the middle option, and that you can set from the pause menu, but it doesn't seem to stick.
It
always defaults to putting them in the corner, which I assume just has to be a bug.
Yeah, I hope the training mode also makes it easier to get to your command list and then back out to playing.
Yes.
Because it's...
Yes.
Oh.
Currently takes way too long.
like what extra, like, layers?
You have to go, like, two menus just, down and then,
what?
Then
it's back just out. Really, it's just really far down, and it has, like, the pages...
Oh, God.
Which I don't really like. I'd rather it all just be a list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm used to just pause, down, command list is probably right here, and then the list pops up. So that's...
Yeah, when you hit circle to get out of it, it's like, well, here's the list of all the characters. Okay, now you can actually leave the menu.
Oh, no, I hate that shit.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Like, why would I want to know about Iori's command list? He's not even here.
Bob, would you say the beta shattered your expectations?
No.
Damn it.
No!
It's okay. The final game will do it.
Maybe feel what?
Feel?
No, it's about what I expected.
No!
God damn it.
The fire still looks like really bad, but I'm getting used to it.
Sometimes something can look bad and you just come to love it. You know?
The size of Shermie's ass shattered my expectations.
Yeah!
It's even more ridiculous when it's actually on your screen.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to need that at 120 frames per second.
It's like Jesus Christ, SNK.
They just have like a lever that they're just pushing higher and higher, laughing. They're like, ha, ha, ha.
By the time it releases, it's going to be twice as big.
Jesus. Well, that would certainly shatter everyone's expectations. We were like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then we turn away for a bit and we look back and we're like, holy shit, you guys. Come on. Did you play anything else, Bob?
Yeah, I also came over here and played Onichamara Bikini Samurai Squad, the 360 game on your Series X.
That's true. That was the last game that Series X played, wasn't it?
That was the first game that no one played.
Oh, it's cursed now.
Yeah, that was like 2 hours after you broke it.
Yeah, the two games I played before we shattered the Series X was Ridge Racer 6, because that got added in Halo Infinite Multiplayer.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Onichamara, I suppose. Onichamara, the 360 action game.
Yeah. This game still is really rough, but it's funny to see the load times be almost nothing. Because they make a mini game that is like a zombie walking towards the character, and you had to have a button to like slash. Mm-hmm. The zombie doesn't get anywhere near the character.
No, it barely crosses the middle point of the screen some of the time. Most of the time, it just barely enters the screen. It's like, hello, I exist, and it's gone. It's even trying to tell you shit at the bottom, if I'm not mistaken, or that could have been Ridge Racer 6.
I think
because it's doing the same thing. Ridge Racer 6, like, by the way, if you want to know how to fix this and I'm like, what? Where did it go? Yeah, no. And seeing Onichamara in that visual fidelity is hilarious.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it.
It never ran well. And now it looks really sharp and runs well. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, it runs super well. Your characters look incredibly shiny because it's early 360. They don't know how to do anything yet.
It's kind of gross because sometimes if you, instead of looking at the front of your character, if you turn them side profile, and you look at their hip, the skin texture is stretched all the way across their hip.
Yeah, it's rough. That's all I have to say about that. Okay, good. We don't really recommend doing that, but you could.
It's fascinating.
It was added to the list recently.
Yes, it was a part of the 70 bomb. This is a good list.
And then I realized, oh man, that new Puzzle Bobble game.
The VR one?
Yeah, the VR one's on sale. So I picked that up.
Oh, that's cool.
It does not require VR. That's just an option.
Okay.
There's a PS4 and a PS5 version too. So you get to have like, it runs well and looks nice.
Cool.
This is kind of weird. It's like it's called Bubble Bobble or Puzzle Bobble, but this is very much a Bust-A-Move game.
That Puzzle Bobble's the name of Bust-A-Move in Japan.
Right.
Right.
But they never brought it here like that at all.
Nope. They just gave zero shits for this release.
Yeah. Very strange.
They're like, whatever has VR, they'll get it.
And it doesn't play like a bus move game that much.
No, it's really weird.
Yeah, it's all in 3D space. You have this big puzzle of bubbles sitting in front of you. So it's a bunch of different color bubbles. If you match three, they explode just like in a bus move.
Yeah.
But now it's all 3D. So it's just this floating puzzle in the midair. And you have a gun. Is Bub.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bub's got a gun.
Yes, Bub's got a gun that shoots bubbles.
Bob is in jail.
Bob is standing across the street showing you a different bubble if you want a different one. Because you have like two choices each time you get the fire.
Something about your description here just made me think of a bank heist scene.
Yes.
Where he's just tossing you guns.
That's what it feels like.
Well, fucking Bob in a tiny little fucking mobster outfit would be incredible. I can't fathom, based on all the videos I've watched, playing this game outside of VR.
Yeah, it's a little weird. You can't move the camera at all, which feels like you probably could in VR,
yeah,
like look
course,
around this thing.
Of course you could do that in VR. That's if you couldn't, you would lose your mind as you move your head and nothing happens.
Right? So I wish that there were any way to move the camera at all.
Yeah, you think they would have hold this button and you can move your fucking head.
And it's locked down. I just see this puzzle from one angle. Each time you shoot the puzzle with a bubble, it'll, like, physics-wise, move it. So if you bust the bubbles, it'll spin it.
Uh-oh.
And then you have to deal with wherever it lands.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, okay?
Yeah.
This thing's like a multi-layer corn on the cob that you just eat your way into?
Kind of, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a holder bubble in the very middle of the nightmare box. All the bubbles are attached to it, so you're trying to detach them, so they might all be connected by like one or two bubbles.
Okay.
So if you're able to carve open a hole and you see something like that, you are in the outer shell, you can knock that off and everything falls off. And each puzzle's like got a certain number of moves you can take. So the idea is, okay, do it within 15 shots.
Right.
Or 20 shots or whatever.
Okay.
it's pretty neat. It takes a long while for it to start getting hard. And when it does, it doesn't, it feels like it might just be cheap and be almost random if you landed right.
So you're saying it's authentic?
Yes. They also started a thing really, like, after 10 or 15 stages, it started doing this thing where the whole puzzle would move. So it, like, moves left to right, and you have to deal with compensating for where you're shooting because you're, you know, air.
This sounds really neat in VR.
Yes. Yeah. I still had fun with it, but it definitely would be better in VR.
So we should get the VR setup going.
Probably.
Yeah.
It also has an infinite mode where it just keeps spawning puzzles that are slowly floating up, and there's this black hole you're stopping them from getting into.
Okay.
So you have to clear them out before they hit that, or else it's over. That seems really neat, but also it's a huge time investment, but I guess that's how you would expect from an infinite mode.
Right. It's just a, I'm going to zen out here for an hour or something sort of thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say zen out, though, because, oh my God, it can be stressful as you try and turn these puzzles just the right way so you can knock off the pieces.
You need to have that zen brain where you ascend and you're so good at the game, you don't even think, you just feel. That's how most puzzle games work. Obviously, this being so different, I don't know if anyone can achieve that state.
I wish you could shoot the bubbles more quickly, because each time you fire one, you have to wait for Bob to show you another bubble and him to reload it, or Bob to load it in the gun. And it just takes a little too long to feel good.
Yeah. Okay.
It uses the trigger. What's it called? The PS5 trigger.
The haptic trigger?
Yeah, the haptic trigger. Yeah, so if you pull it down, you can adjust the firing of it, so it's literally like a curve.
Adaptive triggers,
yeah.
So you can change the arc?
Yeah, you change the arc depending on how much you pull it down, and there's kind of a little bit of a motorized thing in there to make you feel it better.
I guess that makes sense, because the PlayStation Move, I think, that was a trigger underneath.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I ended up never needing to use, because the arc didn't feel like it was that essential. I'd rather just hold it all the way down and fire it directly where I want to.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yes. How much is this normally?
This is normally, I believe, 20. I picked it up for 13 or 14.
Okay, that seems like a reasonable price you played.
Paid, yeah.
Especially once we hook up the VR.
Right. Because it actually looks nice, even without VR. So I'm imagining this is going to look insane as I get to sit next, or like stand next to my buddy.
You're just like, holy shit, it's fucking Bob.
Bob and Bob are real.
Holy shit.
See, I was like, I don't know, Bob. I feel like feeding her tacos wouldn't have been as impressive on a normal controller, not in VR. So the upgrade here must be massive.
Yes.
You're going to be like, this is my game of the year.
It also does a weird thing where if you miss the puzzle and shoot the background, the bubble will bounce off of the ground and fly into the puzzle somewhere at random.
What?
Yeah. Yo! I thought there might be some technique to it, but I couldn't figure it out.
Okay, it took me a second to figure out why they would do that. They don't want you throwing away colors. That would make it difficult for you.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, no, they hate you.
Are you, based on the trailers, are you sitting on like a dock at points?
You are. There are actually several different environments, and they all look fairly nice. Like, one's a dock, one's a beach. It all seems very, it's called Puzzle Bubble 3D Vacation Odyssey. So it's a vacation.
Yeah. But it's just weird to be like, I hit the water and it perfectly bounced up into this fucking puzzle.
Don't worry, it doesn't look perfect. It bounces way out and then flings back.
I just want to do a trick shot.
Jesus Christ.
But that's all the stuff I had time to play.
I played Halo Infinite. It was all right. They should add a Team Slayer playlist.
God, I played that too. God, they need that.
Yeah. I don't even hate playing the other modes. If anything, I think the number one thing I hate in that game is the big map design.
I found big one big compelling. Map that I liked.
Okay, which one was it?
It was the one that was kind of dark, reminded me of this Halo 1 mission where it plays that Phil Collins song.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. It's
the only one that's at night.
Okay.
It's like the only interesting looking map in this whole game right now. That and the city with the neon.
Yeah, the city with the neon's cool.
Yeah, everything else is just like, man, these sure are really basic looking places. I don't even know if I'm playing Halo.
So when you talk about the large place at night, are you talking about the thing with the streets and some vehicles and stuff?
No, there's no streets. It's like, okay, a barren, like deserty, dark place.
Okay, I'm not sure I've seen this, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I hope they get stronger maps in sometime, because I like big team battle stuff in Halo, generally speaking.
Oh yeah, that's usually just some of the best stuff.
I just really don't like the sight lines they built into the big one. Weirdly enough, haven't played in this version. I played it in the whatever they called it, the flight test or whatever.
Yeah.
I played that one that was like kind of their version, not really though, of like a larger, almost straight green multi-terrain rocky level, kind of going for like.
They seem to have two of those.
Okay.
There's one that's got mountains everywhere. They're like straight pillars, and there's another one where there's this huge hole in the middle. I don't like either of them.
I'm not sure I've played the huge hole in the middle one. But yeah, I'm not. It's fine. They really need to add that Team Slayer playlist. And I wish I liked more of the big maps.
I think it's really funny that a bunch of people are complaining about people playing the objective in Halo. It's like, nobody wanted to play the objective. You made them all do that. It's like, what do you expect?
Especially since you have daily quests. So it's like, if you get backstab somebody and it's fucking whatever goofy shit, of course people are going to ignore the objective and try to get their dailies, because that's how you progress in the battle pass.
Right. And now that they have their fix in of, you played a game, here's 50 experience. That is so little experience.
Hey, don't worry. If you ignore every other challenge and just do that one, you will get the battle pass done in 2,000 matches.
That's all.
Ugh. Assuming... Well, they're infinite, so you're supposed to keep going forever.
Yeah.
But like, you need to do it like in 6 months.
Also, yeah, don't... Well, no, you can always switch back to the old one.
Oh, that's true.
They said the battle pass will never expire.
That's true.
Yeah, once you buy a battle pass, you own it.
We were like, oh, that's really neat, and we didn't realize the other problems that were coming with progression.
Which, frankly, should be the standard for every single one of these games.
Yes. They really want that FOMO feeling, though, you know?
I paid you money! You don't win more by me playing 2,000 games after I gave you money!
Well, they do, because you'll be more inclined to buy the next one if the current one runs out, which they get you to do by making it run out naturally on a timer.
If it runs out before I get all of them, I'm less likely to buy the next one, because I'll go, well, I didn't get all the way through the last one. I guess I should be more conservative with my money.
That's never what they account for. They account for the people who are like, well, obviously not getting all of it is not an option. Which I think a lot of people do have that feeling of like, no, it's, I paid for this, I have to do it, and I have to do it by this
date. I'm so glad that this brain does that. My version of this is only for single player games.
Yeah, thank God. That could get so much worse if it wasn't.
Right.
I feel like that's kind of what I did with Fall Guys, Bob. When that came out, I was like, I need all of it. And I did get everything in that season, and still not enough crowns to buy, you know, a decent amount of things.
God.
I still haven't revisited that game since the second season when I booted it up, and I'm like, yep, they found a way to make medieval eggs.
Never again.
I saw that their season 6 is coming, and it has a Ghost of Tsushima bean, and I was going to die.
That's pretty cool.
He's all armored up, and I'm like, please stop. I can't handle
it. Let me know when they get Chungus.
Dude.
He's already bean-shaped.
Dude.
Such an easy win.
I want Porky Pig bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played a bunch of this over the past few days. Today they started their first event, which is the Tenrai event, where you can get the Japanese like Bushido armor for your Spartan. I don't know who at 343 decided that all progression in everything is tied to challenges.
Yeah.
But they are incredibly stupid, where they're like, okay, here's how you get. Because the event, of course, has its own like little mini pass. It's free, since it's like a thing that will end eventually. They're not going to charge you for any of their FOMO shit. But they have specific challenges tied to this one, and that's how you progress in that one.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It has its own specialized playlist, which is, in fact, Slayer. Fiesta. Fiesta Slayer.
Fiesta Slayer? What does that mean?
Every time you die, you get two new weapons rerolled every time.
I mean, that could be fun.
Oh, actually, it's the most fun I've had so far because I'll just spawn in with the rocket launcher and the energy sword. And then if someone gets ganked, I'm like, I'm going to pick this up. You drop some good stuff. So I've done a few matches of that. And that's the one thing where they're like, okay, it's just every map rolling on Slayer. And then you have your basic challenges you're going through. Yeah, they just need to be normal and just add an experience system and have that be a way you could progress. And maybe some rewards for performance.
I don't know how this game got delayed a year and they didn't hire anyone who knew how a battle pass should work.
Yeah, I don't really understand where they got it off the ground. And then people went, I can EXP boost. I can apply it. But if I don't hit one of your insane challenges, the boost was wasted. Also, the boost counts down in menus.
They have an EX boost you can buy?
Yes.
That's gross.
In fact, you get them through the battle pass as well. They're like rewards that'll drop alongside challenge-changing things where you can use them to swap out one of your current challenges for another one in the pool, which I've used sometimes when they're like rocket launcher or chopper in big team battle. I'm like, what are you... What?
So, you know, Hearthstone gave you replacements for your daily challenges for free. You just got one a day.
Yeah. I've been playing through, and the first time I did one, there was like, you have 14 of these. I'm like, oh, I guess I should pop a few of these for the ones I'm definitely not doing. And it does feel good when it swaps and it says, win two times in quick play. I'm like, oh, yes.
Now I'm really scared that, like, the actual playlists everybody wants will all be timed events.
Yeah, that's what I worried about when he said that. But at least there is that the other thing where it's a weird version of Slayer.
Oh yeah, this is the quirky one where they literally roll every weapon in the game, and both your sidearm gets replaced with anything, your main gets replaced with anything. So there's still hope for normal Slayer where everyone isn't busting up the most powerful weapons all at once. I've never seen the energy sword more than. When I jump in that and there's like five of them on the ground.
I was going to say, I don't think the energy sword spawns in any of the quick play matches. I've only found it in one big team match.
I found it in, there's that map in the non-big team that's like a factory that has like a turbine thing in the middle, like on the side. And there's like an area outside where there's like a hammer that spawns. Sometimes the sword spawns there.
Huh.
And that means you go to the middle of the map, you pick up active camo, you go, you get the sword, you camo, and then you just start becoming a serial killer. And they just start picking off the team. It's very fun when you're doing it. You're having the time of your life because they're just like, who's that? What was that? But yeah, I put like 10 hours into it, and I haven't had this much fun with like a multiplayer shooter since beta and first release of Overwatch. Where I'm like, this is great. I'm having a good time. Capture the Flag's probably my lowest in terms of the modes. Where I'm like, I'll play it, but I'd rather not. I like Oddball a decent bit. That one where you hold the skull.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like Capture the Flag, but interesting. Because you're moving around and the team's trying to figure out like good places to turtle with it.
Yeah.
It helped me really appreciate that Streets level. That someone in my chat said, is this the Overwatch China map? And I'm like, stop it. It's a city at night, please. You're making me go crazy. And then we just hide behind an office counter with the skull and be like, all right, hold it together. I feel bad as soon as we added Dan and Bob, like every competent team fucking went against us. It was the worst.
It was funny as shit.
We were getting mulched. I was like, we're feeling so good at the start of this dream. Tearing stuff up.
It was pretty funny because we were doing well and then it would turn.
Yeah, it would just immediately turn. And I'm like, oh god, what's happening? Why? But yeah, I'm having a great time with this. I just wish there were more meaningful rewards for me actively playing it. Like 50 experiences, okay. But I would like a performance bonus if we win, or maybe you do something good. So you get another like 10 experience to be like, you did better.
Yeah, I've never, ever seen or played a game where that
is what happens at the end of each round.
I mean, it even has a system in place to tell you, oh, cool, you got this little emblem because you did, you got this many kills with this kind of gun.
Right, you have.
But yet got to do nothing.
Yeah, I know. You get like a triple kill. You get that one that's like you broke someone's streak.
Yeah.
If you ever use the harpoon gun, the skewer, without scoping, they just give you a no-scope reward. I'm like, whatever, I just shoot straight. There was no effort involved here, but thank you for this award.
In-game, it's like, running riot. And I'm like, oh, I feel cool. And then they're like, here's your two quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh.
And it's been just long enough since playing Destiny that this dude just sounds like Shax to me, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, you're insane. This is just this is the text-to-speech. What do they call those trailers they do for like people who can't see? Because Microsoft does that for every trailer they put out. They have it.
Yeah, for like the hearing impaired.
Yeah, for the visually impaired.
Visually impaired.
Something. Yeah, so they do these trailers where this guy is the same guy, and he's just like Master Chief standing there holding a gun, Cortana, blue alien lady.
Yeah, this
spaceship.
This one's slightly British, though. I use the butler guy. I use the butler AI.
Oh, you talking about the AI?
Yeah, I'm talking about the AI. Yeah.
Oh,
that's...
We thought you were talking about the announcer for the... Not the AI. Okay.
Yeah, no, because that's... That's the one I'm dealing with.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't want to go too quirky.
I had to turn it to Spider-Man because everything else is just unacceptably bad.
You know, maybe I'll switch to Spider-Man.
Can't you? Isn't there like a quirky girl voice?
Of
you can do that
yes.
one.
A She's the worst.
That's for you, Field.
She's too quirky.
No, it most certainly is not for me. see, KZ, I played all the Uchikoshi games, so a quirky girl has to literally do terrorism to meet my standards now.
To move the needle.
It really sucks that that's just like a normal statement and not like hyperbolic.
No, that's not hyperbole at all.
Yeah, I know. That's what's fucked up about it.
Don't worry, I'm sure the one in the story will be quirky enough for you then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Oh, man.
Yeah, some impressions I heard about that. But yeah, I've had a great time with it, and playing with friends, it was, like, really, really good. So I'm looking forward to grouping up regularly for it and burning through that battle pass or whatever. And they keep saying, hey, do you want to buy these esports armors? You want to get the FaZe Clan armor and the gun? And I'm like, that's $10.
They're like, it's cool enough to justify it, right? And you're like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. All right. The best you're going to get is me getting the more premium battle pass. And they showed like some Japanese armor looking things. And I'm like, I like anime. I will buy this. It's only $10.
Yeah. I assume it's the Hayabusa. Is it?
It's like different like chunks. They rolled it out today and they're like, it goes with the Japanese armor kit that you're going to unlock through the event.
Yeah, I saw the one they were advertising before the event went up, but was like, that doesn't look as cool as the Hayabusa armor at all, because it was like their generic samurai armor.
I swear they did something regarding the Hayabusa, either in the flight test or something else.
I thought they showed it off in the in that thing, the first multiplayer I thought they had something that was super similar. So maybe one of those alternate ones is that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them, because this is like more pieces that you could try and use on it, and then you get a kit that unlocks I think it's called the Yoroi set. Mm. And then there's 30 ranks in this event thing. And the event will go away, but come back. My chat was saying it's going to be like a monthly thing, or it's a regular thing, and you will always keep progress on it forever.
Weird.
So even if you don't manage to clear it, which is sounding like it'll be kind of hard to clear all 30, but level 5 you get the fucking armor. At least it keeps your place, unlike Fortnite, where I tried to get into it and then I realized every single cool crossover thing that is already gone.
Yep. You know, thinking about it, them wanting to make this sort of like a Fortnite, right? Where they just get to do a bunch of stuff. It goes forever. Cosmetics are important, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate then that Halo is like the most aesthetically restrictive one of these. Because Overwatch, they can wear all sorts of different outfits and be redesigned. There's a certain threshold with how you can make Master Chief or Master Chief like Spartans look.
Yeah.
Where people are like, what the fuck are you doing? Why is he a spider?
Yes, it's like battle armor.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's kind of rough because...
Maybe we'll get elite-shaped armor eventually.
Yeah, it sure be. You know, it would solve the being able to have more cosmetics if you put in a leaf.
Well, that's impossible. So what we have now are the three events they've currently announced. The Japanese one we're in right now.
Yeah.
There's another one that's like winter incursion or something.
I'm imagining them being like, yeah. Yeah, here's your shirtless Master Chief.
And oh, God, that would be good. The Kino Fabino version? Yes.
Oh, my God, please just give me that. And then there's, like, some, like, tactical one. This is the most interesting one of the three they showed, but I imagine they'll just, like, be like, you want this event because it's got good colors on it.
I'm calling it now. They're just going to add Doomslayer because he looks close enough, and he won't be radically different to animate and stuff, and they own Bethesda.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but if Doomslayer's, like, in there... I will pay pig this game.
Now I'm just imagining Skyrim man armor for Master Chief.
Probably.
Oh yeah, the helmet.
Yeah. It'd be weird if he wasn't there, honestly.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll do goofy shit like here's a gun, here's a new version of this gun that yells Fusro Da when you shoot it.
I did see some really goofy stuff. Like, there was some guy in one of the matches we played that kept killing me, and when I died, a flaming skull blew up.
I think that's to let you know you got headshotted.
Oh, is it?
Because I noticed every time that happened, I was killed via headshot.
Weird.
It's to communicate to you
there's
that
a screaming skeleton inside.
There's a screaming skeleton inside of all of us.
Yes. There isn't too much in terms of, like, super big standout stuff in the first battle pass here. Like, I looked at the end of the tier, and it's like, a really good red visor. You can make your arms and head on fire, where you're just literally on fire all the time.
Cool.
which I'm like, okay, that's got some real NFL Blitz vibes, I guess.
Now I'm a flaming corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it has to be something you select, because I only got to see that in that one round,
okay.
And I know I've been headshot other times than okay. That one time.
Yeah, I know I've gotten ruined by snipers quite regularly.
I wonder if it's
especially on that sand map.
If they take you from full health to dead in a headshot, that's what does it. Because every time I did it, I'm like, how the fuck did I? And then I see the headshot thing and I go, oh, okay, then fucking explains it.
Yeah, God. I like that sentinel laser they have in this.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like making everyone dissolve. but yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I've been having a great time, probably going to keep digging into it until it stops feeling really great. But so far, real solid. I just like a Slayer playlist.
Bob, did you play anything else?
No.
Okay, we'll go to KZ for the rest of his stuff then.
Real small thing. I'm trying to get back into Tales of Arise because I was still early in, but then a bunch of other things happened.
Mm-hmm.
I hit that first boss that just has a DPS check halfway through it, where they're like, kill these things around it, or you're going to get nuked.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it, and almost everyone died immediately, because there's no way I could pass that DPS check. It seemed a little absurd.
You can't.
And then I remember the in a skit right before, they're like, this is the master of, like, light. So I just made an accessory that guarded against light, and then it only did a third of everyone's health, and I mulched that thing. So I feel like this game is more suited toward gear, I guess? I'll have to play more, but it just felt funny
that was like the only moment where I felt like something just erased. That fight just seems like they tuned it wrong.
Yeah, because as soon as I put it on, it's like a very, very cheap, I think it was like adamantite, that like cuts light damage by half, and then I'm like, you're not even putting anyone in the red now with that. And then I get hit with it again, and it was still fine. But it's good to hear that if this is the hardest part, then I could hopefully coast a little bit, because it ended up not being too bad. I was still trying to get reacclimated to like doing proper dodging and stuff.
So yeah, I don't remember having a big trouble with that boss, so I don't know if it is going to be like a huge going forward that everything will be downward from there, but we'll see.
Yeah, because I tweeted about this same thing, and a lot of people said, yeah, I was playing on hard and this is the worst thing in the game.
Huh.
Are you also playing on hard?
No.
Okay. No. I was just asking to be like, maybe it's a hard mode tuning problem.
well, I was like two levels under the level of the boss, and if you do not have anything that guards that DPS check, it does like 85% of everyone's health. So I imagine it just, no, you can't survive that.
Okay.
But yeah, yeah, I was going through that still. Still enjoying it. It's really, really solid game. Every other cutscene, they just remind me racism, and that's been pretty cool. Yeah, I'm gonna keep on chipping through it, but that's all I played.
Okay. Feel, what have you been playing?
I finished The Ruined King, by which I mean I stopped, not that I completed it. It just really runs out of steam.
This is that League of Legends game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the League of Legends game. It seems like the entire rest of this game is just going to be a really long combat stretch.
Big hallway.
And yeah, pretty much.
Mm.
Like, so it's like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
That's a real indictment of it,
honestly, because if you dropped it, that means the story is nowhere near interesting enough to keep you going, because it is on RPG.
Well, there is effectively no story.
Okay.
Like,
that's so weird. Like,
the League of Legends champions get together and say, like, the moat. I couldn't tell you what any of their characters are supposed to be. I could tell you elements of their backstory.
They gave you their character sheet.
They gave me their character sheet, and I could tell you the absolute, like, most basic things, like, Miss Fortune's really mad her mom got killed by Gangplank and wants revenge on Gangplank. Brom tells stories and has a story about every conceivable thing from his homeland. Yasuo introduces himself in every conversation as, I killed my brother, I hate myself. So it's like, there's nothing for me here. Also, the mechanics are like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to have characters have really distinct mechanics like this, they need to all be playable at once. Because you're limited to 3 and you have 6. At least I have 6 so far. There might be more.
Huh.
Once I find... And some characters just seem exponentially better than everyone else.
That sounds realistic.
They just feel authentic.
It kind of has the problem that WoW has sometimes.
Hmm.
Where certain characters will scale with gear significantly more than other characters. And if the character scales better with gear, they're just a better character. Like, Yasuo's big thing is his abilities get better the more he crits. And yes. Crit is a stat on gear.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an ability where he attacks 3 times. And every time he crits, that attack during those 3 hits... he will do another attack up to maximum of 7. And the additional attacks you earn can also crit and then earn more attacks. So, you know, once I get it up to the point where he's basically always doing 7, he just deals so much more damage than any other character can deal. And the other DPS character I have, which is, I don't even fucking remember his name. He's like a undead guy with daggers and lives in the water and is an assassin.
I'm just losing it here because I'm like, yeah, the NPC started calling me slurs and this guy named Tarek joined my team and he can't do shit. This is such a realistic interpretation and representation.
Stop feeding, asshole.
Yeah, but like that character, the other melee DPS character is like, okay, they kind of scale with gear because they convert a portion of their health that they would gain from gear into attack power. But to do good damage, they have to enter stealth. And stealth is a terrible mechanic because they have a move that costs mana that lets them enter stealth, or they can enter stealth randomly when they attack on like a 20 or 40% chance, depending on how you spec them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get hit by an attack, they drop out of stealth.
Wait.
And
what? How they?
They can't get hit by single target attacks if they're in stealth, but full party attacks, which a lot of things do, will still hit them and drop them out of stealth.
All right.
So they're just so much worse than Yasuo when it comes to dealing damage that I don't see any reason I should ever use them instead, except for the parts where they force you to, because each character also has an individual ability that is sometimes needed to progress through dungeons. Luckily, I haven't run into the situation where they go back and change your party. Because if the next stretch requires a character, they just force you to take them. So, and again, like, there's no story, really. It's just like, okay, this is the same conflict you established at the start of the game. I'm 60% of the way through the story, and it really seems like I'm just going to be going through a combat slog the entire rest of the game.
Ugh.
And none of the characters are really give. When you rest at the camp, you can watch a conversation between two champions, and they are so bad, I started hitting no.
It's like Sterling Nestis.
They are
yeah,
so
bad. No, you didn't. You were brave.
They are so bad and nothing that I'm just like, I don't really want to see. I just want to keep going. And like on the certain characters just being way better. Like Braum has an attack. Braum has a move that just gives everybody a damage shield for like so much damage, and he can do that every turn if you want, if you have the mana. So it's like, imagine if your healer could just heal above the maximum health to no end. Why would you never just have them heal the entire party every single turn? So I don't know. It feels like it doesn't feel good. It has problems. Also, a problem with the MMO loot is because some of the loot would have like secondary effects that are not just stats. Some of those can be so good that you want to keep them on a character far after. Like, there's no amount of stats that makes up for it.
Yeah, that's like, usually a problem with that sort of thing.
Like, I got a low level ring that makes that lets the character restore 5 mana a turn, and I just put it on Braum, and it's like now Braum can pretty much spam his shield as much as he wants because it effectively like tripled his mana pool. And if I ever stop using mana and just do regular attacks with him, he just regains all his fucking mana. And that ring has horrible stats because it's like 8 levels out of date now. And this game doesn't seem like you get to a very high level. It seems like you cap out around 24, 25. And I'm like level 16, 17. And this ring is like level 8. And it's like, I'm not going to replace it. That effect is too good. So it has a lot of problems. And it's like, maybe I'll finish it at some point. But it's just like, man, I really don't want to. Like, it's just the same thing over and over.
That's rough.
Similar complaints about the last RPG they made of like there's lots of weird problems.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of thing they probably wouldn't fix. So that was a little bit disappointing. Like if you like League of Legends writing, I can't imagine there's anything for you here because it's mostly just reiterating backstory you should know. Like I'm going to check right now what Arcane is still at Rotten Tomatoes because last week it was at 100%.
Okay, that's nuts. But I guess not enough people played it.
No, that's still at 100. It's that's the show.
Yeah,
that's
the Netflix show.
TV
show.
Okay, sorry.
Let me see here.
Yeah, your time's probably better spent watching that.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy call.
I've heard nothing but glowing praise from like writing.
It has 17 critic reviews with 100%. And 2,300 user reviews with 98%. So if you want League of Legends story, don't buy this game. Just go watch Arcane, I guess.
And then if you're really desperate, then you can slum it with this game.
Just make sure you don't play a regular League of Legends, please.
The whole point is to get you into that world. Any other way, we have a card game. We have that show. We have the RPG. We got the thing on mobile. You maybe try the thing on mobile.
We got that fighting game coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of things.
I don't know if I'm gonna check out the RPG or the show, but I'm definitely gonna check out Wild Rift whenever that hits on like console.
Right.
I'm just too curious to see that play out. Yeah, yeah, it could be really neat. Fun fact, I've owned an Amumu shirt for years and thank God no one thinks I'm into League because of it.
And the other thing I started playing was Racing Lagoon.
Ooh.
What? Racing Lagoon, if you don't know, is a PS1 racing game JRPG that got a translation patch like within the last week.
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't really gotten very far into it because it has kind of a long intro. And it's a late PS1 game, so it loads constantly. Which is like, yeah, I played Final Fantasy IX. I know how this shit goes.
Yeah.
So it's very much inspired by Initial D and Wangan Midnight. Mm-hmm. Like you have the car from Initial D as your starter car.
Good choice.
Has really cool music. It like, the, there's no character models. Everybody exists in, like, the dimension of the Final Fantasy VII FMV. Like, they're that style, but, like, pre-rendered.
Yeah.
Huh. And they'll, like, so it shows you all these pre-rendered scenes with dialogue over them. And the plot so far is just, the opening of the game is like, man, you sure picked a hard night to debut as a street racer. Those two super chads are racing to decide who's the king of Yokohama. Luckily, we're not trying to beat them. We have no chance. You got to beat this dipshit over here, because when you beat somebody in a race in Yokohama, you get to take a part off their car.
Good. It's the shit I want.
So in the first race, all you have to do is beat the worst NPC racer.
Glass Joe.
Yep.
And your car isn't very good to start with, so that's pretty probably all you can manage. I don't have a huge amount of experience with racing games. Actually, I have basically none. Other than, like, Driver San Francisco. I beat that. and I played some of the old Burnout. I played, like, one of the old Burnout games.
Cool.
So I don't know if this feels good or bad for a racing game. You really have to learn how it controls, though.
You know, I wasn't even sure this was a racing game.
No, it's a racing game. It's a real ass racing game.
Just to be clear, I'm pretty sure every fucking time Thor High Heel showed this off in a video, he showed the dialogue scenes.
Yeah.
I cannot remember him showing the racing at all. I would like to credit this getting localized to Thor. I don't know if he wants me to do that.
you mean Thor from Thor High Heels?
Yes, where you spend 2 years going, please localize this someone. I feel like that might have an influence.
It probably did, though. I think it was done by a group that has a Patreon. It's like, pay us to translate these old ass games.
Yo, if you keep that up, absolutely. Fuck it.
So, like, you have to shift gears. Like, that's an element of the game.
Okay.
Huh.
And drifting seems really important. Usually when I play a racing game, my strategy is to just take my hand off the accelerator when I turn.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to work very well in this. It's much better to drift and to hold on to the inside.
So that's kind of like Ridge Racer.
Yeah, I do wonder if this just controls like Ridge Racer, because I've never played a Ridge Racer game.
Yeah, I'm really curious now that you've described this. I'm like, I need to.
I'm also sure that upgrading your car will just make it feel way better, because I've only upgraded it a little bit so far and it feels much better.
Okay.
So you drive around like the JRPG map version of Yokohama, and you can park at all these places on the map that has like a parking sign that floating over it. And if there's no story thing there, the character will just monologue internally about it in like this noir-esque style.
Okay.
the internal monologue is great because it's very, very anime. Like, I never knew what being alive was until that race. Now I know this is where I need to be.
Mm.
You have random car battles. Like, there are cars with their headlights on, with flashing their headlights, and if they run into you, you have to race them.
That's cool.
And some of them will, and you can lose parts. They can steal your parts if you lose. So you have three categories. You have engine, body, and chassis. And those are each slots that you can put but those are like mega parts. You have three mega parts, and then each of those mega parts will have like slots for other parts. And tire, for example, would go on chassis, but you don't have to have a special tire part that gives you anything. You can put different things in those slots, but they level up based on how many races you do. And when they level up, they get a little better and get another slot for a different part.
All right.
And better parts, better mega parts start with more slots. I don't know how many levels they have. I think it's three. And you have to win three races to get them to level two, and then six more races to get them to level three. There's not an actual experience system beyond just one out of three wins, which makes sense because you really don't want to deal with that for like a racing game. And anytime you beat someone, you get to take one of their parts. You can even take their mega parts. But you can't just like luck out and get a really good part, because you have to have enough reward points to steal their part. So you get reward points whenever you win a race. You usually get around 1,000 for just a random battle, or like 3,000 to 5,000 for a storyline battle. And the mega parts will usually cost like 5,000 to 10,000. And the little parts will cost anywhere from like 300 to 1,500. So it seems really neat. Like, it's unbelievably, like, this would have fucking, they should have localized this back in the day. This would have blown people's dicks off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it really would. I definitely would have gotten it because huge fan of PS1 JRPGs from Square Enix and Ridge Racer Type 4. If they had released a fusion of that, holy shit.
This is like the aesthetic that like Final Fantasy 7 and 8 and Parasite Eve had, like taken into making a racing JRPG. There might be supernatural elements later. Who knows?
Yeah, this is cool as shit. I was sitting there wondering why it's called Racing Lagoon. I look it up. The director of this game worked on, and the writer from this game wrote on, Bahamut Lagoon, the Super NES Tactics RPG. The writer, by the way, of both of these is Motomo Toriyama.
Hey, yeah!
So that's crazy to just be like, hi, I was hiding here in this racing game on the PS1.
Also the team you race on, your street racing team, is Team Bay Lagoon. which is probably directly referring to Bahamut Lagoon.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's really good.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna keep checking that out. It seems really neat. I can't imagine it being especially long. The world map is not very big.
Hmm.
And I assume you'll get a pretty decked out car fairly fast. But yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Now Bob the struggles to not play this on Friday.
I'm like, this is, maybe it's like Parasite Eve 1.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I didn't relocalize it. Like, no, we made it too short, so nobody's gonna want it.
If you play this, you have to play it on the Trinitron.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe that could be the problem, Bob, because Square Enix was viewed as the RPG company, so if their games were any shorter than 20 hours, people got mad.
Yeah.
Well, it also reviewed really poorly in Japan at the time, so maybe they're like, this one isn't any good. Which makes me think they probably had bad taste.
Entirely possible. I'm very excited to try it out at some point. So thanks for bringing it up on the podcast to remind me to check that out. I also need to thank the Pod Lords.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Whoa.
Whoa. Pod Lords here now.
May I see them?
No. Wait. Yes.
Yeah.
The Pod Lords. Pod Lords such as E. Lee Broyles. Bringing Mothman to my family Thanksgiving. Corey Brown, Red Blaze 27, Suzu Shiro, Emperor Zero, Shibuya Gato. No bit this week. Just gonna wish you guys a happy and relaxing Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Watching Death Note again. Light makes really great faces. 101 Shades of Wonderful. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everyone.
Okay. We did, probably.
Introducing the non-fungible Busey. Secure your investment and expand the NFB space today. Bidding starts at $300,000.
Oof. Holy shit, he's inside pepperonis.
And he's the Terminator. And he's also a monkey.
What a great announcement that you teased last week.
I know.
Yeah, I'd pay 80 Ethereum for that.
WTF Spider-Man. Mr. I Like Spam. Surprise Gamer Premonition. How long until Twitter removes spaces or they put it behind the paywall of Twitter Blue?
You can't take this from us. It's so funny.
DFW 3K. Me, when I tried to get an OLED on Black Friday this year.
Yes!
Hazmat suit and a gun.
Yeah, that's pretty much what.
You have to be sure.
Jesus
Christ. I heard those screens are strong now.
Shiny Muse, Brain Spiders would like to personally thank Mr. Feel for recommending Caligula Effect Overdose. 77
hours.
Oh,
God. That's insane. That means they finished the stories of 509 out of 500, 409 out of 524 NPC.
Whoa. Thank you, Phil.
Value.
I'm glad you got your money. You got that money back feeling.
Kristen. be thankful. Be thankful for Turkey Berry. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
His head's just a turkey.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Santi Kunai. Travis Touchdown versus new Raido Kuzunoha Switch Edition.
No.
Adam here. The fact you exist is a positive on this world. Except for you, Gary. You know what you did. Kyle Bjork. Zilter. Gary Busey shut the fuck up challenge.
They know.
Iron Aggro. Blig de Blue. Schlig de Boo. You played SMT5 with a magic build? Don't you mean the wrong way?
Yeah.
Monster Hunter, Ryzen and Raiden. More like Cowboy B, because this shit ain't a bop!
Boom!
Ensign of the Dip Ship, Jordan. Manifesting Final Fantasy 16 news to arrive in December.
Maybe.
If you be good.
The Witcher porn parody wants their Geralt actor back now. From this antithesis of media you called Cowboy Bebop Netflix.
The antithesis of media.
No, that's Lord Farquaad. We've been over that.
Yes, it is Lord Farquaad.
You know, I've never lost an armchair, devs. Tell them you cheated. Part 1 of 5. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I don't.
This is Fat Man. Remember?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Shin Megami Tensei V. Drive type cam. BN12. Floffy around and find out. Indigo Sykes. Gaijin, who is thankful for Big Think.
Hmm.
I guess that makes you Big Thankful. Evil Lucario. Clutchins. A raccoon that is really into pizza.
Just get into that thing from the crust.
My grandmother once said, once you know the real thing, you won't be fooled by an imitation.
Yo, cool image from Spy Kids.
Cool image from To Boldly Flee.
Lamu. Aspiring Bamani ambassador, Shinji 16, wants to remind you that you deserve to be happy, even though Epic Games acquired Harmonix.
Hey, you stole the news!
Stop doing that!
Maria Kadenzavna. And Virvarm, thank you very much to our Podlords.
Thank you, Podlord.
Thank you, Podlord.
Thank you!
And if you'd like to become a Podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits, such as early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches, and gamer premonitions, and we don't get to say all our ideas on the show, and a Patreon-exclusive show, one per month, where you get to vote on what good or bad thing we watch and discuss. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast. And if you don't have money, you can always help us by telling your friends. That helps us immensely.
Yeah, it does. You can just also just tweet it and reply to other people's tweets, and they'll be like, what is with this guy?
You can go
into the Apple store and subscribe to us on every single device that they have out for you to demo.
You should absolutely do that. This will be my revenge for them not shipping me the iPhone in time for Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. I was tweeting about how I ate eggs, and then you said, oh, you like eggs? They say egg out loud for no reason. Listen to Big Think to mention.
They're big fans of egg.
That's my clan tag in Halo Infinite, egg.
Let's see. We have just barely a page of news, just a little bit over a page of news. That's cool. We're going to go to Bob first. Bob?
Sure. Kojima Productions is opening an LA studio to develop television music and films.
Why'd this take so long?
I don't know. I feel like he's been talking about it for years.
This just seems like the natural conclusion, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
I wonder if anything acceptable will come out of this.
I'm sure something really good that cost way too much will come out of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll give us a podcast at least.
Netflix will give him a bucket of money. Or Amazon. You know what? I'm going to say Amazon.
I'm going to say Peacock.
Yeah.
And too busy doing Bel Air.
That was the funniest take on that dramatic Bel Air, was somebody replying, "Everybody's making fun of this, but they're all going to watch it." Immediate response, "No, they won't. It's on Peacock."
How would they? It's on Peacock. I lost it. I was
ding,
like,
ding, 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 ding.
As somebody who's used Peacock, fair.
Jesus.
God.
That is the very bottom of every streaming service out now.
Yeah, that I know of.
I don't know. It's like equal in irrelevancy power level to Paramount Plus.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
I can't name a single like exclusive like IP that Peacock has now aside from that. At least with Paramount Plus, I can think of like they have every Star Trek horror and that CG Rugrat show.
And Harper House, which is good, and people should fucking watch Harper House.
No, it's dead. No, I'm sorry.
They should watch it because whatever, that's all of it. And then you sign up for the trial, you watch 10 episodes, and then you cancel the thing so they don't get any money.
Maybe watch an episode of Kablam and salute your shorts like we did.
Yeah, maybe.
Wouldn't suggest it.
Wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
There's also Street Fighter announced a crossover with Brawlhalla. So
I'm going to bed.
So Ryu, Chun-Li, and Akuma are all in Brawlhalla, I think, already.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Great.
That was cool. Neat.
Good Great. For people who like Brawlhalla.
Sure, I guess.
My only take was that they should have put Chun-Li in Smash.
They should have.
They should have.
That would have been better than Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play Ken, and I agree. I don't know anyone who'd be like, "No, Ken's so much more important. You have Ryu, but Ken's important too."
Ken is such it was easy, so we did it. Character.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. I'd rather have Ken than not have Ken.
I don't know.
Assuming there was no replacement.
I don't know. Ken playing him was so disappointing and frustrating. I kind of am edging on. Nothing might be better.
You know, every time I look at footage of Brawlhalla, it just looks fake. It looks like a Flash game everybody got really into.
Yeah.
Instead of
it
a
just
UV
looks like it
game.
Feels like it just feels like it feels it just looks like it must feel like the worst game to play.
Yeah, I think I tried playing it once and did not like how it was at all.
It doesn't seem real. Despite it being real, it doesn't seem it.
We also had the big Street Fighter V fall update.
Ooh.
Stream.
Ooh.
Those are fun.
Yeah, this is was 26 minutes long, mostly just them showing off all the moves for Luke.
Cool.
We got a release date for him at the 29th of this month. So he's almost out. They reaffirmed that, this is the end of this series for Street Fighter V, these streams we do. But there will be something else. So they very much implied, we're going to do Street Fighter 6 stuff like this.
Yeah, Ono isn't here, so we can do good stuff.
They also had a hype trailer for when every character was announced and like all these streamers reacting. Luke was not in this at all.
Luke is... I really hope they reevaluate Luke because what they said here...
Mm-hmm.
They make it clear Luke will be important for Street Fighter 6. That phrasing makes me think they are reconsidering him being the new hero.
He'll be a character in their story mode.
They still reaffirm that he was important to it. So, I don't know. Maybe.
But I feel like they said he's the main character last time, and now it's just
he's important.
He was like, they said some shit like the key to the future of Street Fighter or something.
In the cutscene at the beginning of the story mode, Luke will give Ken his coffee that he spills.
And then die.
And then drives off a cliff.
While hanging out with Ken's really, really abnormally small child.
Luke sucks so... Like, when they did this in Third Strike, we got Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is... Alex is so much a better character than Luke.
Oh, yeah. No, he leaves an impact.
Right? It looks like Alex is... Luke feels like a weirdo version of Alex that's super boring.
Yeah.
Like, he's... Instead of being gigantic, he is all scrawny, and he just punches like normal.
Doesn't he like have like air punches or something?
Does that for one move, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch this stream. I was just trying to grasp it, remembering anything about that trailer from a few months ago.
But yeah, it looks like he might be somewhat fun to play, but he's really boring, and I hope they know that. because they this whole stream was like them talking about understanding user feedback and how important that is, and it wasn't even included in that final that hype video.
They completely rework them in six
because they have to know. No one liked that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, another generic blonde character in Street Fighter. Thanks.
God. I was really hoping there'd be anything else in this stream. Anything?
No.
Nothing.
Absolutely not. Did they shill esports for 20 minutes like they do sometimes?
No, they have like a tiny little esport thing that was like probably 30 seconds long.
Man, they really did listen to feedback.
But yeah, it was just kind of frustrating. I was hoping for, like, I didn't expect Street Fighter 6 to be announced here, but I thought we might hear something about a PS5 edition. Anything.
That would be nice.
Because this game is still running like the PS4 original. It never got a pro upgrade.
At this point, no way, because yeah. I feel like there's a strong chance that Street Fighter 6 could come out next year, so they have no reason to do it at this point.
Yeah, that's probably the case.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's not next year, but it's like January or something of the year after that, like in time for near the next season. Because I assume they'll just sync it up with the next Pro Tour season, which is what they did for 5 that caused it to come out the way it did.
I'm just going to post this picture of Luke that Gamatsu used for their article.
That's his super. That was what they showed off and were really proud of. That's like his ultimate move.
Yo, look at him.
That's a fucking hilarious still image.
I think he punches you like 3 times before this one super punch.
Bop, bop, bop.
Underwhelm all expectations.
Yeah. Also, they showed off his V-trigger, which was something they keep doing. There are 2 V-triggers for every character, right? Yes. One V-trigger power up one kind of move. The other V-trigger powers up another kind of move. It's like, that's really boring.
I can't wait for 6. They need to just give that me moves on a meter and that's it.
I never want to see the fucking V-trigger fucking shit again.
Yeah.
Like, that shit sucked so bad. Ultimately, it just boiled down to your character's fun once you've... It was the fun bar. It was the now that you have achieved V-trigger, your character can be fun. For some characters. Some characters were fine. Like, Armika is fine, because her V-trigger is just, like, the assist.
Yeah, yeah. I always but then appreciate you have, like, the V-triggers where it's just, like, it's a move.
Then you have, like, Karen, who needs V-trigger to become the way she was in previous Street Fighter games.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just becomes this thing of, I would like all the characters' moves at my disposal now. Not later in the match. Now.
It feels insane because as we went through the Street Fighter 4 era, I was like, this is a pretty solid Street Fighter. It's not amazing. And that was really before I fell deeply in love with 3, like Third Strike even.
Right.
I just played it a couple times and been like, oh, this is really cool. But I went through the whole 4 era being like, yeah, this is neat. It's all right. And then I play 5 and I'm like, you know, 4 was really good. Like it really raised how I felt about that game.
I saw so many people in the FGC also like that.
Uh-huh.
Where they're like, man, I'm so excited for 5.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Esports. And then they're like Mike Ross and just completely disappear and come back years later going, Street Fighter 5 is the worst video game I've played in my life.
Yeah, I just, that game doesn't, it's not.
Yeah, it's rough when it's like neither of the last 2 Street Fighters have really clicked with me super well.
Oh yeah, 4 didn't click with me super well, but it was a fighting game that was good enough for me to feel like I could have fun playing multiple rounds of it in a row. Street Fighter 5, I get my fix doing that once every 2 years. How it feels, basically.
Yeah, I can crunch out like a session every like 6 months and then I'm like, all right, that's good. I'm not chomping at the bit to play any more of this. Yeah. And looking at Ken's awful hair that they never fixed over the course of like 6 years.
I know, and that really does do a large number to me. The part where is the things that were disappointing when it came out forever ago are still bad.
Yeah, they just haven't assessed anything and like fixed old stuff. The newer characters look better than this first set, and it's just weird that they fight the first set. It's like,
they
like, Ryu and Ken look bad in your Street Fighter game. That shouldn't be the case.
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah, they did like a lot of outsourcing in like the first season pass, so some characters just look really bad. But then recently they're like, we fixed Sakura's face, not Ken's though.
No one cares.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Real dumb.
Hopefully I'm optimistic about Street Fighter 6.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many ways you could do something different from 5 and be really good.
This is a post Capcom fighting back era. They keep putting out like bangers. So I expect to see this division also attempt to do that. And maybe keep this Ken design, but use it and not make him look horrible. I think his design's good. It just looks really bad in this game. I don't know what's wrong.
Just put a Chiquita sticker on him.
Everyone went for the Chiquita banana.
Yeah, just put the sticker on his forehead, and it's now in universe explained.
Oh, fucking thank God. His kid made him do it.
And my last piece of news.
Uh-huh.
There's a rumor going around that Amazon Studios is in talks with EA to make a Mass Effect TV show.
Yeah.
This is probably real because there was that thing from a couple months ago where Henry Cavill was like reading some prospective scripts while holding one, and then people zoomed in and says Mass Effect at the top.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Henry Cavill would be a really good male Shepard.
Honestly.
Like he would be able to do that fucking stupid tone that male Shepard has perfectly.
And he is like one of the few people where it's like, oh, he's gonna be in this video game adaptation. He's probably played that game like 3 times.
He'll know exactly how weird and reactionary it is.
Yeah.
Every time it's like he just has become Western protagonist, Western RPG protagonist, man.
Yeah, it's really great.
Which makes sense. He played Superman.
Yeah.
It tracks perfectly.
I haven't watched the Witcher thing. Him as Geralt still seems fucking weird to me.
Yeah, I need to watch it. Just watching the trailer, I was like, man, this sure looks like a TV show or movie, unlike the other thing Netflix just put out.
Yeah, I know. I sat there and I was mad about that over the last week. I'm like, clearly more money went into that.
Come on. What's wrong with Tiger King Season 2?
So speaking of video game related TV shows,
whoa.
Did you guys know that Halo has already lost like all its staff over the course of its development? The Halo show.
Of course.
I mean, it failed. This is like the 10 times they tried to make this show.
I know. This project failed something like, what was it, 7 years ago? So they just
earlier
took it
this year
again.
They announced that they announced both their showrunners would be gone following the completion of season one. One of them had actually left before it entered production. The other one was like, I'm leaving if this gets picked up for a second season. I will not do this again. They also moved it from Showtime to Paramount Plus.
They did. We saw this during the 20th anniversary thing. They showed a cut in and showed Master Chief suiting up.
So is the Mass Effect TV show going to be racist Star Trek?
It'll somehow be more Star Trek than current Star Trek.
That's not too hard.
No, it isn't.
See, it's gonna be weird because, like, the most, in my opinion, like the most what are you doing type thing in Mass Effect is the Batarians, because they are Axis of Evil, the race. they are Iran and North Korea, but that isn't really a thing in modern American culture anymore. Like that was a Bush thing, and all this shit is Bush thing. So I do wonder if they just make something very loyal to the source material and people don't get how fucked up and weird it is because they weren't alive during the Bush administration.
You've described,
or conscious as a human being.
You've described a lot of culture.
I'm looking forward to our podcast on this perspective show.
Fucking people are like, Jar Jar acts really funny.
Misa won out of this segment.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, if fucking Geraltman just says, I've had enough of your disingenuous assertions and throws a punch, I'll be like, okay, he did it. He's perfect for this role.
There's no way that is not in there. There's no way he's not going to punch. And the reporter will be somebody they cast who looks like Rachel Maddow. Just one.
Oh, that would
Jesus be... Christ.
Yeah, I'm more excited for this than most live action adaptations announced recently because Jesus.
They got an actor.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Mass Effect is something they'll spend money on because they'll be shamed if they don't.
Yeah.
I don't know about Amazon, seems. they have to spend another $75 million on that Lord of the Rings show that's going to bomb.
Yeah, 75 million should cover a third of an episode of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they have infinite money. Yeah, they're Amazon.
They set a standard. They have to spend that much on every show now.
Well, you'll see, everybody loved
rule.
everybody loved Loki. So now Amazon's like, well, if we spend $50 million an episode, we'll be just as successful.
Yeah, that's
Marvel is the same level of popular as Mass Effect, right?
I'm sure they'll get a good pull like Owen Wilson for this Mass Effect one.
Yeah. He'll be taking Martin Sheen's role.
All right.
Let's go over to Feel for his news. Feel.
Rockstar did a fucky wucky and are very sorry.
No!
They promised to fix how bad GTA Definitive is. They said they're bringing back the classic versions of PC on the Rockstar launcher, which might mean only there. I assume they mean everywhere, but you'll get it for free on the Rockstar launcher if you bought this, because that was the next point. You get them for free if you bought GTA Definitive.
Yeah, cool for PC people. Yo, fuck you. Bring back the PS4, PS2 emulation shit, too.
Yeah,
go
right?
Fuck yourself. Jesus Christ.
And that Dungeon Fighter fighting game resurfaced.
Oh, that's good.
DNF Duel.
DNF Duel. It's using the Arxis graphic tech, but it seems Aiding is actually the developer making it.
Yes.
That's they made
high.
Tatsunoko vs. Capcom.
Yeah, they made Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. The entire Bloody Roar series is theirs. They made Castlevania Judgment. Bob, do you have any other picks?
They did Marvel versus Capcom Ultimate 3. Like, they did all of that.
Yeah, they did 3 entirely. Oh, and, you know, aside from Street Fighter 4, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is the only fighting game I respect from that era of Capcom. Because what am I supposed to respect to cipher that Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
I'm really excited.
Nobody respects that.
I'm excited for another take on like a fighting game that uses Arxis's tech. Because I'm like, oh, all these animations look dope as hell, but it's nice to see like a different like developer like doing it. Like the supers and stuff look really good in the 40-second long trailer that they released this week.
Yeah, I hope that. It's nice to see more than one dev actually be able to use this technique well. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that that's,
yeah,
especially with Aiden, because Aiden's great.
Because they did the Kill la Kill game, but that was 3D.
That was 3D, so yeah. It made it super weird.
Mm-hmm.
It looks that Kill la Kill game looks super good compared to what I thought it was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
On like first blush, so yeah, I'm really excited for this thing. I know nothing about Dungeon Fighter, but they show really cool super, so I will buy this.
Yeah, I mean, it being made by Aiden gives me a lot of confidence.
Yeah,
Aiden's cool as hell.
Mm-hmm. Go make Bloody Roar after this, please.
Please, oh man, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. You can even make Bloody Roar a 2D fighting game now with this shit.
Sure.
I don't care.
Well, the doesn't Konami own Bloody Roar?
They might, but I don't think they're averse to licensing that out if someone else could
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's going to want to throw money at it.
If only Bloody Roar had stuck around, it could have found a really good niche.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of them that could really have come into fruition again during that revolution of fighting games in the 7th gen, where it's like Street Fighter came back and a bunch of other things started coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think having like essentially furry Tekken would be neat.
I actually really enjoy that series. Like, those games control in a way that's really cool. I wish Castlevania Judgment was as good as Bloody Roar.
Yeah.
But hey, you can't win them all.
Yeah, that's the only news I have.
Okay, then we're going to head over to KZ. KZ?
We'll stick with fighting games. Riot, I guess, hot off like the success of Arcane, showed off Project L again. This is their fighting game in the League universe. This is the one that also had the founders of Evo, the Cannon Brothers, working on it. And I guess Seth Killian worked on it for a bit before jumping over to Epic. This is a tag team-based fighting game featuring simplified specials and inputs. They talked up how good the netcode's going to be because they're going to use their Riot Direct stuff as well as like rollback. So this might have the best netcode of any fighting game to exist, because their stuff is specifically targeted to lowering your ping as much as possible and not ruining your experience because someone else's internet connection's bad.
Mm.
And a lot of things in place to know exactly who to punish based on disconnects and how to do stuff like that.
That's good.
That is what I want from every fighting game. The you get like three strikes and then you're in disconnect jail.
Yeah.
Like the only game that I know that has ever taken action against these people is Killer Instinct.
It should
be every game.
Yeah, they had cheater jail in that. Where it's like you only play with the scumbags. That is the only pool you get. It's still early. They called this a vertical slice, and now they can like build content based upon what they showed off this week. So they said they wanted to talk about it a couple of more times next year, starting in the second half of next year. They showed a few
characters. So at Evo, probably.
Yeah. They showed a few characters. This game looks really fast and nuts. They really showed off the character Echo, where he's like, he has a sword and he has time power, so he can roll back to other states. Like, he makes a hologram of himself and he can roll back to that to do insane movement and insane combos. This game looks sick. And, like, pretty, really good art style and, like, visuals on it, so... I'm really excited to see that. And then the fact that it's really simplified, where it looked like it was just press like one or two buttons to pull off different moves, because this is, of course, when they were doing like the Rising Thunder style stuff, and then Riot picked that up.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. The one of the major esports fighting game guys was like, hey, just from this footage, I can tell this feels a little bit like Skullgirls. Everyone should go play Skullgirls and learn. Like, thank you. I think it was Sonic Fox. I'm pretty sure it was him. Just be like, hey,
what a correct fucking statement.
Yes, that's why Sonic Fox is an instructor in Skullgirls. Fucking that one stage.
That's true.
Always going for it. But yeah, this looks fantastic, and it feels good to see them basically know that they're flexing on literally every other dev when it comes to like net play and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, these are the people who made GGPO.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we only just now have KOF using old-ass GGPO.
Yep.
So here's that new stuff that they're working with. But it's nice that they're being given the time where they're like, yeah, it's going to be a while, but we want to actually get this thing right. But yeah, that's that news. Let me quickly go through. There's an Activision Blizzard Mini. We only have 2 points because we haven't given them enough time to fuck up more.
Yeah, that's true.
First thing that happened, Nintendo's Doug Bowser did an internal email about how Activision and all of them are disgusting. They're the worst. They've already taken action. They didn't really dive deep into what action against them, and are also in talks with the ESA to like get some sort of infrastructure in place. They're probably just being like, how can we fuck them up? Because this is ridiculous. This type of stuff can't happen. I think it was Fanbyte put out a report for it, then asked Nintendo for confirmation on it. And Nintendo said, yeah, we sent that. We sent those emails. So that happened. And then today, the board of directors said they're standing by Bobby Kotick and announced a new committee for workplace responsibility of...
Yeah, of course, it's maybe from inside the company, so who cares?
Yeah, it's formed by two board members, if that's correct.
Yeah, it was something really pathetic, where I'm like, fuck off.
I am going to give my horrible prediction now.
Okay.
It's not what I want to happen, it's what I think is going to happen.
Shoot him.
Bobby Kotick will step down as CEO and become part of the board, and then they will do some bullshit. There will be some, like... $50 million judgment or whatever against them, and that will be enough to drop this out of the news cycle. Like, long term.
I really hope not.
That will be the resolution of this. I don't want that to happen. I would like people to face justice for once, but I feel like with the problem with this is, like, you can't... There's all this shit has a time limit. People can only focus on something like this for so long, and it's frankly stunning that Blizzard has fucked up bad enough to be in the focus this long.
Yeah, we have maybe 3 weeks left.
Like, Riot fell out because they just... Because once there's no new things happening with it and it's all just litigation, it falls out of public interest because there's nothing to rubberneck at.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I think it's going to go with this, depressingly, even if I really don't want it to. And just so nobody asks why we didn't mention it, Sony's getting sued for not paying women as much as men. It's one person right now, but they're trying to start a class action lawsuit.
Jeez, I did not see that.
I missed that entirely.
There's literally nothing to it yet. It's literally just, they did this, other women come join me, we're going to sue them.
Yeah, I think.
And it could literally, like, the next time we hear about this, could be like, Sony settled and fired that person because it was apparently about this one specific guy. So,
okay. Yes, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like it was this one specific guy that they didn't oust when claims came forward. Yeah, I heard about this in the last couple of days, and I think I also heard about one other Western company. I was like, come on.
Yeehaw.
Look, everybody needs to understand, this is every company in the entire world, because they're all structured to be evil.
Yeah, I mean, they are. That's yeah.
These evil engines of malevolence.
Or to put it a different way, the only way to ensure that people are not being abused by people with significantly more power than them is to stop having systems where people have significantly more power than other people.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Future Club is a worker co-op.
Yes, which I'm really fascinated to see how that goes going forward, because that's the only way you prevent huge violations like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody gets to... You don't get a bad person in charge and then they're impossible to oust.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best way for this sort of thing to be prevented. Of course, our society, basically all of them, are not designed to engender corporations be set up like that. Like, that's generally speaking, no one's like, good luck getting funding, good luck doing any number of different things. It's just such a counter to every other type of corporate structure thing that I was amazed that Future Games Club could pull it off even. So I'm interested in that. I think it's hilarious in the most fucked up way possible that Nintendo's talking to the ESA about making what is the equivalent of game development UN. They're just like, yo, we need to form a committee to prevent this fucking war crimes. Like,
yeah.
Like, Jesus, that's the point it's gotten to.
They're literally going to the teacher right now.
They're like, hey, we need to get a gun. We need to prevent all this heinous bullshit.
Yeah. So, really embarrassing time loop video game, 12 minutes, is coming to PS5, PS4, and Switch this December 7th. I guess Xbox had a 3.5 month exclusivity on that or something.
That's usually how that goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that that's coming out about every single one of these indie games they highly promoted. And it's like, oh, it didn't even wait that long.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was like mid August. So yeah, I think it came out around the same time as Death Door. I wish I played that instead of 12 minutes, but hey, it is what it is.
Man, like, you indies aren't getting enough. Nintendo gave Nippon Ishii Software of America nothing and got longer exclusivity on Disgaea 6 than that.
Right? I hope they got something.
I sure hope they did.
Well, I guess the 3.5 month exclusivity here, I guess, makes sense a little bit. Both games I mentioned were on Game Pass at launch.
Fucking just the thought of like, hey, kid. And this guy is like, what's up?
We got breaking news right now.
What?
Right this second.
Oh, shit.
Right this second. Dragon Age 4's creative director is left BioWare.
No! God damn it! No! Every goddamn day I wake up!
He wanted to go have Thanksgiving and never come back.
Oh my god! Come on, Phil! No wonder you perked up so hard.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Man, what a delicious turkey they put on your plate. So how you feeling about Dragon Age 4?
They haven't shown it yet, so I can't really have a fucking opinion.
Feel? I'm now more confident than ever they're going to show it at the Game Awards.
I don't know what you're talking about. We got to see a man walk around uncolored environment
zone.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna
get to see him walk around the training stage from Street Fighter.
We're gonna get another CG trailer for it.
This would be
I
like
never got a first CG trailer. No, Dan, it was
the
just
first thing we showed was the Dragon Age thing where that
it was a logo with exposition.
We got a CG logo.
It was CG though. It was like a CG like wall tapestry thing.
Yeah.
And then they did like the concept art dimension in the last Game Award. They've shown up in the last like 3 years in a row with something.
They're like some sort of lich.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley always grabs BioWare because last year was Mass Effect will continue, so it's like, all right, it's Dragon Age.
God, this is desperate.
Well, thank you, Phil, for such exciting breaking news. Dan, you're saying something about Disgaea being tricked by a man in a trench coat?
Yeah, I was saying Nintendo would be like, hey, kid, how about you mulch your fan base? I'll give you... And then he goes, okay! And then they just throw all the PlayStation fans into a wheat thrasher. That's how it feels.
I'm feeling it right now. It's crushing me and slicing me up. Well, that's all of my news.
Cool.
Going to Dan...
Uh-huh.
With your big hits.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that Epic acquired Harmonix?
And the first thing I thought was, what happened to that Stadia game? How long has it been dead?
Everything at Harmonix has been in a super state of dead for years, it feels like. You remember when they shipped that thing that we had to see 12 million times at the Game Award or at the Summer of Gaming, and we were like, what is this?
Right. It was like, is this a game? I have no idea.
Apparently that bombed harder than most of their games have, and every single one I saw, I went, who? Who? Dance Central. Who? Who? Who?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been real dire for Harmonix. I actually was a huge Harmonix fan. You know, Frequency, Amplitude, Guitar Hero, Rock Band's a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
And everything since has been various levels of, why did you think this would work? Like that card game music game? Does anyone even remember?
Which one?
I remember you saying that it existed. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Okay. That Drop Mix?
Yes, I believe it's called Drop Mix. It's a physical card game where you play the cards to mix music. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. I don't know why they thought Rock Band VR was a good idea. I don't know why they were trying to do a Stadia exclusive. I don't know what the hell was up with that thing at the Summer of Gaming.
Nothing says that they were in dire straits more than when they did a Kickstarter for Rock Band.
Isn't there a thing in this acquisition stuff about, yeah, we're going to make something for Fortnite?
They're making rhythm game content for Fortnite, probably surrounding the concerts they do.
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, that sure is security.
Hey, that's a better, you know.
Yeah, it's better than where they were, which was releasing things that might not exist.
And we definitely won't play them or remember them. We'll like, struggle. It's better than, like, okay, here's this dev that made like the superhero RPGs. They're making a Call of Duty map. Here's these people who make skateboarding games. They're making a Call of Duty map.
They're making a Call of Duty map in the fires of Mount Mordor.
Yes, and at least now it's
no,
like,
KZ.
You're doing
no,
a music
KZ,
thing.
No, KZ, the Tony Hawk people are making Diablo maps inside the Eighth Circle of Hell.
No, that's new Tony Hawk people. I was talking about old Tony Hawk people.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, we got two sets of Tony Hawk people here.
Yeah, I was talking about Neversoft.
You know, I never knew before today that Rock Band was published by MTV.
Yeah, yep. It was for the first two, and then I think the third Harmonix struck out on their own. Just in time to be crushed under the weight of publishing it. Or was that four? That may have been four.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was four.
It was like, oh God, what are you guys thinking?
God, there's that time that Dan Reichert did a prank where he tried to say that one band was secretly had like two or three albums that were going to come out at the same time and they were going to be debuting in Rock Band, and like music media took it really seriously. To the point where the people who ran the band, I forget if it was like Guns N' Roses or something like that.
Yeah, it was Guns N' Roses, I think.
Yeah, where it came out that Harmonix employees said, yeah, we lost the deal on multiple songs because of this prank you did. I wanted to kill you.
And they should have. They should have murdered Dan Reichert.
That's fair.
He waited to finally admit it to them when he was working at Giant Bot finally. And it was like years later, he's like,
yeah, no. Imagine some guy ruined your life and he didn't even have a reason. He just did it.
Yeah, he's like, this is funny. And that's the way he described it on like a stream they did.
God. But yeah, I looked it up. Yeah, they self-published fucking Rock Band 4.
Of course they did.
They worked with Mad Catz on the peripherals though.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, what a nightmare.
What a good partner to pick.
So luckily there's some security working, being a part of the beast, you know?
And at least doing something that resembles what you did before.
Mm-hmm.
And they sure did help kill Mad Catz. Jesus.
They did. Oh, yeah. No, they were a huge part of what killed Mad Catz.
Yeah. Ugh.
I think about how one Evo, a fucking Mad Catz stick fucked up. like during grand finals, and they're like, "Hey, do you want to?"
Was it Matt?
Was it Mad Cats?
I thought it was Rit. No, it was Razor.
Yeah, because okay. I was gonna say it was Mad Cats to Razor, or Razor to Mad Cats, and then the other one went, "Hey, do you want one of our sticks instead?" This was during the final game of a grand finals for Street Fighter 4.
Because I remember that was like the very right after Razor's like, "We make sticks," and one and then you never fucking heard about that shit ever.
Yeah,
yeah, that was the funniest shit. I'm like, this set's been going on for 45 minutes because Elena has healing as a super. And this happens?
God.
Ugh.
Moving on, last bit of news. Forgot to cover it 2 weeks ago. Q Games, maker of a ton of really awesome games like Pixel Junk Shooter, Pixel Junk Monsters, you should check them out, got the rights for the Tomorrow Children back from Sony. The Tomorrow Children launched in 2016 on PS4, and because of the monetization that was shoved into it and how the server structure was done, Sony basically marked it for death 2 months in. They didn't announce it for a bit longer, but the thing didn't even stay up for a full year. But since then, Dylan Cuthbert, you know, the founder of Q Games, guy who worked on Star Fox, was talking about, yeah, if we just restructure the servers to run, you know, on the local machines and not the cloud, if we do all these things so that way you get a continued space in the game, and change the monetization so that way it's not what they made us make it, basically, is what he said, but not directly. Then it would be a much more sustainable game. This game, pretty cool. They got the rights back. They're retooling it, and it sounds like they're going to launch it at some point. Don't know when, don't know how far out that is, but that's amazing because my girlfriend Tosh, that's like her favorite PS4 game. She played that game religiously. It has this beautiful like art style to it. It's actually one of the first... It's like the earliest PS4 game to have global illumination built in via insane tech. So the whole thing looks amazing even still, where it's like you can tell the materials everything is built out of because these crystals will reflect light in a beautiful way. This thing's really fucking hard to describe what the game is, but yeah, it's fucking hard to describe what the game is. Just look up a fucking trailer. It's got a really cool art style. Anyway. That was important news for me, which I had to look at back at other big things to be like, I didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, for years now I've been dealing with, I hope Dylan Cuthbert doesn't tweet about the Tomorrow Children or Toach will see it and get sad. So it's awesome news that I don't know of any time anyone's done this, like get the rights. Like I think Harmonix did for the Amplitude remake.
This reminds me of what the Nintendo did with Platinum to let them have Wonderful 101.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
It's very rare.
It is so rare with these two guys. Like, you don't see anyone walking away with Ape Escape.
No.
Yeah.
Where you say they're retooling it, I hope it becomes more like you can feel like you make your own progress because it felt like a ton of it was, oh man, you need to wait. Everything needs to wait.
Yeah, there was a ton of dependency on other people mm-hmm. who would be in the same, quantumly in the same space as you. You know, building to the communist theme of the game.
Yes.
Because the whole thing's Matryoshka dolls and like crazy exploring the vastness of emptiness as the world got erased and the corpses of giants are what you mine into in order to get resources and stuff. Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do... You know, a major difference between the Tomorrow Children and other games that are vaguely similar, like Terraria, is that there is a maintained world.
Uh-huh.
Right? It sounds like they're going to do something more like that, and that it would be re-engineered on an economic side to be less about waiting for other people, more exploring at your own pace. This game relatively bombed when it came out, but it had a really strong community for the people who did find it.
Yeah, when you said it was let up for less than a year, I was like, that makes sense. It feels like it's been forever since it went offline.
Yeah, no, it's been a really long time. And
it's crazy.
There's so many cool things in that game, but between how the server space worked and the monetization and Sony seemingly not wanting to give them the time to really retool everything,
mm-hmm.
like, if I remember the story correctly, they tried a month and a half in, or maybe two, to re-engineer how various things about how it worked went, because originally, if I remember correctly, the game was like a $20 game, and then it also had these weird weight systems, But then everyone was like, no, this needs to be free to play. So they made it free to play and then made some of the economics worse because Sony, the pressure was really on from Sony to make this work out.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing this get a hopefully cross-platform release. Maybe we get a PS5 native version of this. Maybe it comes out on PC, where I think the user base there will appreciate it a lot more than PS4 players in 2016?
Yeah, I was like, it was pretty early PS4.
Yeah, 2016 is when it came out, yeah. Because this game's cool as shit. Like, it's really, really neat, and I would like to see it retooled and re-released, so I'm glad they got the rights back. I would like to see more companies be able to get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really nice if we could get that. If Sony could even just do the Konami sweepstakes thing of, hey, here's this list of IPs, we're open to other people making them. That would be nice, because then maybe we'd get a Jumping Flash ever again. Yeah, anyway, that's it. That's all the news for this week.
Cool.
In the next week, I'm going to eat turkey.
Whoa, turkey?
Yo!
KZ.
I'm also going to eat foods and put them all in my mouth.
Mr. Feel.
I'm going to drink this entire bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream.
And maybe pick up more of those marshmallows.
No, never.
That sounds like a pretty great plan. Okay, we're going. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.